This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
I've been preparing for this all my life.
Here's Porter on Harden, taking him to school.
What a great play by Jayshon Tate.
KJ Martin climbed Boban Mountain.
Team on at 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
And you've seen tonight that we fought together, we stayed together, and it's about damn time, man.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. And if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a huge, a monumental favor and subscribe to the brand new YouTube channel. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app. Locked On Rockets is free and available on every single platform that you can imagine. We would sincerely appreciate a subscription. Today's episode, just a reminder, not brought to you by, but check out Locked On NBA. Especially check out Locked On NBA Thursdays with Jackson Gatlin. Hey, that's me. And my good friend Matt Moore, who Rockets fans have an interesting relationship with. We've got analysis breakdowns on all the latest NBA headlines. We've got an episode out talking about, what do we talk about today? Rich Paul and Clutch Sports, that whole situation going on with Nerlens Noel and his lawsuit, as well as NBA stock market Southwest Division. So definitely don't want to miss that. Be sure to go check it out. But first, let's dive in. Before we get to our Rockets mailbag and rounding out these, you know, really awesome questions that you guys sent in, let's hit on a couple little tidbits of news here. So first off, the Rockets rounding out their likely 20-man training camp roster with the additions of Dacian Nix and Tyler Bay to a pair of Exhibit 10 contracts, according to Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle. Now, Nix is a guy who's actually played alongside Jalen Green. They were teammates on the G League Ignite. Nix following the same path as Jalen Green, kind of the professional pathway of sorts, opting to go straight to the G League and you know, jumpstart his professional career, averaged 8.8 points, 5.3 rebounds, and 5.3 assists in a little under 27 minutes per game. So Nix is an interesting guy. I looked at a little bit of film on him. You know, doesn't look amazing, right? I'm not like blown away. He's a guy that's probably going to, you know, spend some time with the RGV. He's got some decent size for a guard, you know, kind of not the most athletic type, you know, got kind of a stockier build. He's a good addition to the thick Rockets. Shout out, Chris White, Fire Bear on Twitter for the constant thick commentary on the Houston Rockets. I'm not going to dive down that rabbit hole too far. So Nix, cool addition there, some chemistry with Jalen Green. You know, not expecting, you know, either of these two guys to, you know, crack the opening day roster, but they're definitely guys who can, you know, develop and spend a little bit of time in the G League. And hey, maybe you bring them in and they surprise you a little bit with some of their play down at the G League and make a name for themselves. For Bay, he actually averaged 15.1 points, 9.2 boards in, again, just under 27 minutes per game in the G League this past season. Shot a little under 50% from the floor, about 33% from behind the arc. Bay being a 6'7" forward, and from what I saw, you know, solid in transition a little bit, can run the floor really well. Again, played about 18 games with the Mavericks at the NBA level previously. So he's had a little bit of experience at the NBA level, but you know, that's kind of it with those two guys, as well as Matthew Hurt on a two-way deal. And then likely Armani Brooks and Anthony Lamb sitting with their qualifying offers. That's probably your 20-man roster for Rockets training camp, in addition to the 15-man roster of guys who already have locked in NBA contracts. Now, with that, I do want to hit on the little bit of news, the report that we had recently come out of The Athletic, that House is, you know, one, he's extension eligible. And I know Rockets fans feel some kind of way about Daniel House right now. But The Athletic recently reporting via Kelly Eco that there is an understanding that his representation and Houston spoke sometime in Vegas during Summer League. Houston's view on their rotation extension eligible players has always been the same. The Rockets would love to have House around at a number that makes sense for them. It's up to House and his internal valuation of himself at that point, the same as it was with Gordon, Tucker, etc. Now, with Daniel House, I will say that House is still a commodity for a lot of NBA teams, right? He's a wing. He's a, you know, an above average defender, can shoot the three ball, can play make a little bit, can attack off closeouts, is solid in transition. He is exactly the type of 3-and-D wing you want in a 8 or 9 man playoff rotation, albeit as long as you're not playing in a bubble environment. Just going to hold that pause there for a second. So with that being said, right, if the Rockets are able to work out an extension that is a team-friendly extension, I think it actually makes Daniel House a little bit more of a viable trade commodity, because right now, if they do deal Daniel House, I mean, maybe they could get like a second rounder back for him or something. You know, he's an expiring deal. He is on a very team-friendly contract currently, but extending him might actually work to benefit the Houston Rockets in their ability to move him down the line. I don't believe that this extension would be with the idea that Daniel House Jr. is a part of this team moving forward. He's not. I think that you look at the transition that this team has made, the youth movement, all of that. Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin are conceivably your starting small forwards, or your, you know, 1-2 punch at the three spot in the future. It's not going to be Daniel House Jr., right? But as long as he's here with the Rockets, if he's getting reps, if he looks good, you can build up his trade value a little bit and maybe receive a little bit of value back for him, more so than just, you know, a measly second round pick, if you're able to extend him and keep him at a team friendly deal. So that's kind of how I'm viewing that. I'm not viewing the extension talks as something where they want to keep him around long term. If anything, it's just the Rockets and Rafael Stone kind of, again, doing their due diligence, putting the right PR stuff out there. Yeah, we'd love to have House back at a number that makes sense for us. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? Like, but they might just let him expire. They might flip him for a second. Who knows, right? I don't think it's anything where they're committing, a huge amount of long-term money to Daniel House Jr. at this point in the Rockets rebuilding process. So with that said, tackling that little bit of news right out of the gate, we're going to dive into our Rockets mailbag questions, part two of our mailbag episode, diving into that in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Sweatblock. Because look, sweating sucks. It's gross. Like, unless you're working out at, you know, understandably, right? If you're working out, if you're playing pickup or something, sure, you're going to sweat a little bit. But like, I'm talking about the kind of sweat, like you're just going about your day, you know, running errands, picking up groceries, and you're hanging out with some friends, meeting somebody up for a first date, a job interview, stuff like that, right? You don't want to sweat. It feels uncomfortable. It can cause anxiety. It's problematic, all of that, right? Don't worry anymore, because Sweatblock can help you take care of that. It's doctor-created, doctor-recommended, works for up to 7 days per use. They've got a dry shirt guarantee. So, right, if it doesn't work for you, they'll give you your money back 100%, no questions asked. Featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by actual firefighters. It's been a bestseller on Amazon for the past decade. It's manufactured right here in the USA. And again, the thing about Sweatblock is it's, one, it sounds a little bit too good to be true, right? You put it on and you don't sweat. That's basically how it works. It blocks just the sweat receptors right down there where it's uncomfortable, right? The uncomfortable sweat, where it can be a little bit embarrassing, where you might sweat through your shirt, that kind of thing, right? You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear out anymore. I can't wear this shirt. It's, you know, it's too see-through, that kind of thing. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You basically put it on at night before you go to bed, wake up the next morning, shower, go about your day, put on your makeup, do whatever you got to do, right? Sweatblock's going to take care of you. I mean, look, I live in Houston, Texas, of all places, right? The humidity here, it's unbearable, right? Sometimes you walk outside and you're drenched within 5 minutes. Sweatblock really does work, and you can check it out. Just visit sweatblock.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your very first order today. Again, that's 20% off at sweatblock.com, also available at Amazon and CVS. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's go ahead and dive into the remaining questions from our Rockets mailbag. Now, I have to apologize. Just as a heads up, where we're at right now, we're in the dog days of the NBA offseason, which means we are officially kind of down to our three-day-a-week Locked On Rockets format, which traditionally is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Had a little bit of stuff come up Tuesday evening. Wasn't able to get the show out for Wednesday. My sincerest apologies there. Please forgive me. But we're here Thursday, and we've got another episode coming out Friday. So at a minimum, three a week. Might do more than that, depending on if there's some interesting news. Maybe working on a couple big-time guests that would be pretty cool to talk to. So definitely want to stay on the lookout for those. But again, from now till about October 1st, we're looking at a Monday, Wednesday, Friday format. I'm just throwing that out there because sometimes I hear people, or I see people commenting, or I've seen people throw out, hey, what's up with saying it's every day? And it's every day during the season. Just throwing that out there. That said, let's get into our Rockets mailbag. So let's start with from H-Town Hoops fan. In your opinion, who's getting paid and who's getting shipped by the Houston Rockets? So there was a little bit more context when this question was asked, and you know, basically the timing of everything for the Houston Rockets with, you know, this young core, and you know, at the end of the day, you can't pay everybody. So I will say that for H-Town Hoops fan, I think that it's a little too early to start making calls about who's going to get paid, who's going to get shipped. I will say that right now, if you're looking at the Rockets and their payroll structure for the foreseeable future, the 2023 offseason, that's your target offseason where everybody comes off the books. And the Rockets currently only have $32 million committed across their young core, essentially, and then Daniel Tice and Eric Gordon, which that final season isn't even fully guaranteed. So John Wall comes off the books. Christian Wood becomes an unrestricted free agent. Kevin Porter Jr. has a team option, I believe. Yeah, team option, right? Make sure that's team option. Qualifying offer, I apologize. Qualifying offer for Kevin Porter Jr. So the Rockets could, you know, are going to be looking at potentially paying him, potentially paying Christian Wood. Jayshon Tate is another name to monitor there as well, as his contract will be up at that point and he will be an unrestricted free agent. So of those names, I think the biggest one that becomes kind of a question mark is Christian Wood, right? Is does Christian Wood look like the type of player that you want to commit big time money to by the end of his contract? Or do the Rockets conceivably look to try and ship him out and receive max value for him before you have to pay him and, you know, give him a massive payday during that offseason? Because if you don't give Christian Wood a payday that offseason, let's just say you give Jayshon Tate a fair market value somewhere in the $8 to $12 million range, right? That's probably reasonably fair for a guy of with Jayshon Tate's skill set. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, arguably, right? That means you're floating the Rockets at around what, $43 million there, you know, at that point. And then past that, who else are we looking at on the books that would need to come back? If you keep Kevin Porter Jr. on a qualifying offer, then and then make him an unrestricted free agent the following season, then the Rockets are going to have a lot of money to play around with that offseason. Whereas if they extend Kevin Porter Jr., then I'm not 100% sure right now what his extension number would reasonably look like, but the Rockets are still going to have a lot of money to play with that offseason. So again, I think it's a little bit too early to argue who's going to get shipped out versus who stays, but that is something to be aware of when you've got a team full of young, exciting players, how their careers pan out, who you do want to pay, who you want to look to move before you have to pay. And of the current crop of guys, I'd say Christian Wood is kind of the obvious candidate right now because he's going to be the guy that's due for a payday. Do the Rockets want to be the ones that pay him, or do they want to send him to another team and get back some value for him and let somebody else foot the bill on that gigantic contract that he is bound to receive down the line? So let's move into our next question from Richard Mora. Best NBA comp for JG and KPJ. Greatest success or highest ceiling on our roster between Wood, KPJ, and Jalen Green. Now, I will say KPJ is kind of hard to comp, but, and I, like, we've been doing this for the better part of like 6 months now, right? it makes sense, a lot of the James Harden comps. They really do. He's a stringier, more explosive, less strong version of James Harden. He really is. Like, that's a really solid comp for his play style, how he approaches the game, his court vision, all of the above, right? So I think that makes the most sense there. And then for Jalen Green, I think when you look at a guy with his unique blend of scoring ability at his age, as well as the freak athleticism that he has, I mean, how can you not comp him to guys like MJ or the late, great Kobe Bryant, right? Guys who looked very similar at their respective ages as to how they attacked the game and how fluid things looked offensively for them at times. So I'm inclined to say that those are probably some of the correct comps for Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. They could be reaches, right? You know, obviously we're reaching for the stars, hoping to align Jalen Green with the likes of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, and then obviously KPJ as, you know, baby Harden, that kind of thing. But I think those comps make sense from a stylistic perspective as to what we can expect out of these guys. Jalen Green with a bit of a better outside shot, though, coming in than Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant had. And then greatest success or highest ceiling on our roster between Wood, KPJ, and Jalen Green. I think you have to give the nod to Jalen Green here. Right. I think that KPJ obviously still has a high ceiling and has yet to reach his full potential as a Houston Rocket. And then Christian Wood, I think we're kind of seeing Christian Wood peak a little bit. I think he's close to his peak. I don't think he's in like gear five and there's like a sixth gear that he can shift into. I think there's a little bit more that he can tap into. And I think we kind of saw him on the verge of making some of those strides this past season, but due to the ankle injury and a couple other circumstances, didn't get to see really the full display of what he can truly achieve. And I think we're going to get to see that this upcoming season, but yeah, I'd have to lean Jalen Green here for that. From Big R, also thanks Richard, appreciate the question. From Big R, what are you hoping to see from Silas and company this year? Frankly, I mean, we didn't get to see a whole lot last year because of the inconsistency with the roster lineups, the training camp debacle with James Harden. There was so much that they had to deal with from the jump last season that honestly, I'm hoping to see a couple things. One, for Silas and company, I'm hoping to see health, right? I want to see a healthy Rockets team so that Steven Silas can truly have every guy at his disposal, can really tinker with rotations, can really get into some of the nitty-gritty of what he's supposed to do as a coach, figuring out which lineups work where, experimenting, that kind of thing. And then honestly, I'm hoping to see a little bit more creativity offensively, right? I think that a lot of what we heard last season was the Rockets were not able to get into some of their more complicated offensive sets because they had so many different guys being slotted in and out of the lineup on a nightly basis that it was really hard to get into any truly advanced offensive principles and really trying to unlock some of what Steven Silas would really like to do offensively with this core group of guys. So that's kind of the main thing that I'm looking forward to is, you know, Steven Silas was touted as an offensive genius with, you know, kind of one of those Mike D'Antoni-esque type coaches when the Rockets brought him in. Obviously, the Rockets had previous interest in him years ago when they originally hired Mike D'Antoni. And Steven Silas has had a lot of success everywhere that he's been. And most recently before joining the Houston Rockets as the Dallas Mavericks lead assistant, leading them to, you know, being the architect for their offense that was the greatest offense in NBA history to that point. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's able to unlock and further achieve with this young group of guys, given the fact that he has spent so much time in and around other young star talent, right? LeBron James, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic. Now he's got a Jalen Green, right? And it'll be interesting to see how he helps Jalen Green develop his game and what he's able to really unlock with this talented group of individuals. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing out of Silas and company this upcoming season. Coming up, we're going to wrap up our mailbag questions, but first a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Because look, if you've never had a protein bar that you've actually cared about, you got to check out Built Bar, right? These protein bars, they're the best ones on the market because they don't taste like protein bars. They're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. So many amazing flavors to choose from. You got raspberry, mint chocolate brownie, salted caramel, strawberry, cookies and cream, German chocolate, you name it. So many bars to choose from. Every single bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Great if you're on a keto diet. Great if you're trying to lose weight. Great if you're just headed out the door in the morning, you need a couple bars, right? You know, a little breakfast substitute, that kind of thing. That's how I tend to eat them. Or if I'm on the way to the gym, that kind of stuff. And you can check them out. Just visit builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. And another message from our friends over at betonline.ag, because look, it's that time of year again, and all the eyes are turning to football as teams get back on the gridiron to start the season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. They've also still got you covered for baseball going on strong. They've got you for UFC, MMA, you name it. They've got it over at BetOnline. They've got you for all the news, odds, and info that you could ever imagine over at BetOnline. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's time to get in on the action. So head over to their website and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% welcome bonus. That's 100% welcome bonus when you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Again, a 100% welcome bonus over at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Continuing our mailbag questions. So let's go ahead and get to our next one. Oh, I lost it. Hang on. Where'd it go? There it is. Here we go. From Harden, ISO God, which player do you think would benefit the most from the G League? I'm going to argue, and to me, it would be a toss-up between Josh Christopher and Usman Garuba, but ultimately I'm really torn between these two guys because I think Josh Christopher, one, I think they're both going to spend time at the G League. I think Josh Christopher and Usman Garuba are both definitely going to get some reps at the G League level, and I hope that they can go down there, develop some chemistry with each other. And the two things that, right, you want to see out of those two guys at the G League level as they're getting those reps in before they come back up to join the Rockets at the NBA level is you want to see Josh Christopher get comfortable as a facilitator, comfortable with the ball in his hands, and work on his decision-making, right? Playing within the flow of the offense, not forcing things, that kind of stuff, because conceivably he could be a guy that can be a secondary ball handler, a secondary facilitator in an offense, that kind of thing. That's exactly what we saw out of him in summer league as the Rockets guards kind of went down one by one. Jalen Green, Khyree Thomas, Armani Brooks isn't your traditional ball handler type guard, right? He's not a lead guard type. So seeing Josh Christopher get those kind of reps at the G League level is going to do him a lot of good. And then for Garuba, I think his biggest question mark, obviously the defense looks incredible, but offensively, not much of a game there right now, right? And that's going to be the area that he's really got to work on, is he's got to work on being a solid roll man, rolling hard to the rim, finishing in the paint around other guys, finishing through contact, that kind of thing. And he's got to work on his spot up shooting, because he's got to make NBA defenses be able to respect him when he's out there on the 3-point line. Otherwise he becomes, right, a weak link offensively, where NBA teams are just going to leave him open and continue to let him shoot the three ball if he's only shooting at like a 30 something percent clip. So of those two guys, I would lean, I think Usman Garuba would benefit more, because at the G League level, if he's on the floor, they're going to be running a lot of pick and roll through him, trying to get him comfortable with a lot of the actions, setting screens, you know, picking and popping potentially, you know, I guess spotting up in the corner, all those different things. And just getting to do those, getting a lot of reps doing that stuff is going to be really largely beneficial. Whereas Josh Christopher's already got a really solid all-around game on both ends of the floor. I think there's just some areas that he needs to polish up a little bit when it comes to Josh Christopher. So next question from Tulumfield. All right, there we go. Via YouTube. Where does a KPJ and Jalen Green backcourt rank in terms of best young backcourts, or just best backcourts in general? I'm going to do best young backcourts, because I think just backcourts in general is a little hard to gauge. I mean, it's still even hard to gauge. They haven't played a single game together, right? And I know that there's a lot of hype around KPJ and a lot of hype around Jalen Green. But it's hard to give these guys an accurate ranking when they haven't even played a single minute together on the floor. Not to mention the fact that they won't be a traditional backcourt in the sense that, again, I really think we're going to see a starting lineup involving John Wall, Kevin Porter Jr., and Jalen Green. So they're not going to be your traditional one and two starting backcourt as for many of these other teams. But I mean, off the top of my head, there's a bunch of different guys that I can think of that kind of fit the bill as far as who you would consider, you know, the young backcourts in the NBA. So first off, I mean, I guess the first question is, okay, do you consider, like, Luka Doncic is a guard, right? So, like, do you just immediately throw Luka and whoever the Mavericks trot out next to him as, like, the best young backcourt, quote unquote, in the NBA because Luka's a top five player in the league? I mean, maybe, kind of, sure, but then you kind of throw away the part of, you know, who the second person is. I mean, do you count, is it THJ as his backcourt partner? Doesn't quite match the young mold. I don't know. It's tough. So you got Luka, you got Trae Young and Kevin Huerter is another good one. Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox, SGA and Dort. I mean, who else do we have? I wrote down a few more names over here just because I wanted to not lose them all. Sexland, Colin Sexton, Darius Garland. There's another one. Can't forget about Cade Cunningham in Detroit with Killian Hayes would be another good one. Jalen Suggs and Markel Fultz in Orlando. Maybe Cole Anthony, depending on how they want to trot that lineup out. Who else? RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley. Technically, Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle. The Spurs with Lonnie Walker and DeJounte Murray. I'd argue that a KPJ Jalen Green backcourt is probably somewhere arguably top five, right? In that mix, like borderline top five. There's going to be obviously question marks about how a Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr. backcourt looks defensively, how they mesh offensively, a lot of those things. But I'd say they're like on the cusp of just from a sheer talent perspective and from their potential somewhere on the cusp of being top five young NBA backcourts in the association. And it'll be interesting to see how their careers develop alongside one another. So that's what I've got there. Another question. This was a set of trades from Chris White submitted via Twitter. Now, Chris, I'm going to tackle these trades very quickly because I'm going to be completely honest with you, man. I don't think either of them benefit the Rockets too greatly. So the first trade is John Wall and three first round picks for Ben Simmons. So it's the 2027 pick via Brooklyn, 2023 pick via Brooklyn, and then the 2025 pick via Brooklyn. So three Brooklyn firsts and John Wall for Ben Simmons. Now look, similar to a year ago when we were debating James Harden for Ben Simmons, right? I don't think Ben Simmons is the answer because conceivably he has to be one of your best two to three players on an NBA roster. And he's on a maxed out deal right now. And you bring him into the fold with this current group of Rockets players. It means you're taking the ball out of the hands of Kevin Porter Jr., out of the hands of Jalen Green, forcing those guys to operate off ball because Ben Simmons can't. I mean, he can operate as a pick and roll threat. Sure. A little bit. I just don't think Ben Simmons is the answer, and I don't think you want to unload John Wall for another long-term money contract. I think at this point, let John Wall's contract just play out his days here and just kind of go from there. Like I alluded to earlier, the 2023 offseason is going to be huge for the Houston Rockets. That's going to be a chance for them to have a lot of money to play with and a lot, you know, a chance to make some significant moves as this young core is, you know, a couple years into their early stages of development. And if Jalen Green's progression, if Jalen Green's development looks like it's progressing, you know, in a timely fashion, if he looks like he's going to be one of the, you know, dominant, you know, forces in the league in years to come, conceivably you can pair him up with a slightly more established star, slightly more established veteran of sorts, bring them in via free agency, and then make that leap that 2023 offseason. You can't do that if you trade John Wall and a bunch of your future draft capital for Ben Simmons. You kind of shoot yourself in the foot there as far as possible opportunities down the line to pair a star player with Jalen Green. So that said, the second trade iteration over here, Eric Gordon, Daniel House Jr., and a 2023 first-round pick via Milwaukee for Cam Reddish from the Hawks. I don't think the Hawks are going to move Cam Reddish. His name gets brought up in trade rumors occasionally, but it doesn't make sense for them to move him yet. Similar to what I was talking about earlier with the question about the Rockets' future, who do they trade? Who do they pay? Who do they trade? it's too early for the Hawks with Cam Reddish to decide that they need to move on from him because they're worried about having to pay him down the line. He's a 6'8 athletic wing, very kind of Trevor Ariza-esque, right? Like a young Trevor Ariza. Had a really good showing against the Bucks in the playoffs, after coming back from his sore Achilles, I believe it was. So it doesn't make sense for the Hawks to move on from Cam Reddish right now. It just doesn't. And not for a package centered around Eric Gordon, Daniel House Jr., and a first-round draft pick, especially when the biggest question with Cam Reddish is going to be, do the Hawks reasonably want to pay him down the line? Why would they then trade him and bring in more salary in Eric Gordon, Daniel House Jr.? Just don't really see that as a realistic option from the Hawks' perspective. So that's kind of my thought there. And then final question that we have here, should we trade John Wall and some Nets first to OKC? This would benefit the rookies from Axel V, longtime listener. Shout out, Axel. Appreciate you. Still going to argue against trading John Wall, especially if you're considering trading him and utilizing assets to accomplish said trade or to grease the wheels in said trade. Look, I know, and this is going to be my point, the final question and my kind of my point to hammer home here. I know that Rockets fans pretty much just want John Wall gone, right? They want a big chunk of the veterans gone. They want Wall gone. They want EG gone, but not with like, you know, not maliciously. They're just like, yeah, there's no minutes. Like just trade him, get something back. Right. And then Daniel House, right? There's a lot of animosity with Daniel House for a lot of different reasons. The jersey number, the bubble situation, all that stuff. John Wall is a consummate professional. Like John Wall is going to go out there and going to be a good mentor for Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. He's got a good relationship with Coach Silas. Like, I don't believe that the Rockets locker room is going to be chaotic because John Wall is still here in Houston and because there's some, you know, underlying understanding about the direction of the rebuild and the fact that the Rockets have these rookies that they're trying to get consistent minutes to. No, I'm not expecting any, you know, negative hurt feelings or whatever from John Wall. He's going to show up. He's going to do his job. He's going to teach Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green how to be pro, you know, a true pros pro, that kind of thing, how to succeed at the NBA level, how to be a, you know, all NBA caliber guard. If anything, hopefully he teaches them a thing or two about defense, right? You know, hopefully kind of shoring up that side of their game. I don't necessarily think John Wall being here is a bad thing, other than he is going to take reps and minutes and shot attempts away from that duo. That's the one negative to still having John Wall here, is he will require, you know, his usage to be what it is, which if John Wall's on the floor, he's going to be pounding the hell out of the rock. He's going to command a lot of attention, all of that. So that does take away reps from those other two guys. But I don't think it's that big of a dilemma to where you're looking at unloading his contract and trading off future draft capital, future assets to make it happen or to facilitate a trade in that respect. And again, we're looking at one more year of John Wall, and then he opts into his final year, and then he either gets A, bought out, or B, gets dealt as an expiring deal to another team. So I don't think we're you know, it's not some situation where you've got years upon years of John Wall left. It's one more year. It's KPJ's second stint with the Rockets. It's Jalen Green's rookie year. They're going to find a way to make it work with that trio. I'm firmly confident in that regard that Steven Silas is going to find a way to make those three guys work as kind of a three-headed guard monster, if you will. But yeah, no dealing John Wall, especially not if you're attaching assets in the trade. But with that, that kind of rounds out our mailbag questions. Really appreciate all the questions that you guys threw in there. Really great ones. I'll try to do some mailbags a little bit more often. I love doing them. It's a great way to interact. Really want to do some live mailbags. I think that this platform that we have now with the video and being able to go live on Twitter and YouTube, it can lead for some really interesting interactions, very similar to what we did with Jay Sean Tate, taking live questions, that kind of thing. So look forward to doing some of that in the future. But for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, really appreciate you watching and listening. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, free and available on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, you name it. Locked On Rockets is there. Please hit subscribe. But for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.